they were fair, and they took wives of all which they chose. That was not evil spirits or evil angels coming down here and marrying the daughters of men. Those sons of God were the holy lineage of Seth. Those ungodly seed were the descendants of Cain. And out of those descendants, God had preserved a holy seed, and now they begin to mingle themselves with the pollutions, with the corruption, with the pagan customs, with the idolatry of that generation. And God looked upon it and said, my spirit is not always going to strive with man. I'm going to give him 120 more years. And here was the reason. Verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart, and he said, now I will destroy man. God saw that the wickedness of man was so great that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was nothing but evil continually. That holy seed was almost totally corrupt. And that's what God is looking upon in our day, for Jesus said that our day would be characterized as it were in the days of Noah. And that's exactly what the Lord was talking about. A polluted holy seed, a mingled holy seed. Now verse 8 says, Noah, it boiled down till there was only a remnant left, and that remnant was so small you couldn't hardly find it. A holy remnant was all that was left. And God says, hey, I've got to move in time here to preserve that holy seed. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One person was all that was left of that remnant. The whole remnant had become polluted, and the remnant had boiled down to one person and his family. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. You couldn't mix Noah up with the world. You couldn't mix Noah up with those heathens and pagans and with the idolatry that the descendants of Cain had introduced upon that benighted and that terrible degenerate generation that he was a product of, or he lived among, rather. You couldn't mix Noah up with it. Listen, a real Christian, you can't mix him up with the world. Did you know that? That's why the Bible said you can tell a Christian from a non-Christian, because he just won't mix. It's like oil. It'll always rise. You can't mix oil and water. It's impossible. You can't even homogenize it like you do milk and cream. It won't mix. And the Bible says a real Christian won't mix with the ungodly world around him. You can stick him right in the middle of filth, and he'll come out shining like a star. He won't get filthy. You can drop a pig out in the filth, and he'll come out smelling like a pig. You can put a sheep out there, and he'll tippy-toe around. All he has is a little bit on his hoofs when he comes out of it. Praise God, you can tell a sheep from a pig, and you can tell a Christian from a non-Christian. Lord have mercy. No, you couldn't mix him up with that ungodly mess. He was a just man. He was perfect, and he walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and brother and sister, they feared God like Noah did. And they kept themselves from being polluted with the ungodly lifestyle around them of the heathen and pagan, with the idolatry that had polluted that generation. All they thought about was sex and violence. The next verse says it. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Morality had degenerated down until everybody was living like animals except Noah and his family. God says, I'm going to preserve that holy seed, but if I continue to let Noah go on and have to be mingled with this ungodly, perverted generation of degenerates, it'll all be corrupted. So it grieved God in his heart. He wasn't delighted by destroying that ungodly world in that ungodly sick society that Noah and his family were existing among. The Bible said it grieved God in his heart. We talk about God and his wrath and God and his hatred of sin and God and his hatred of degeneracy and debauchery and homosexuality and all of that animal-like animalistic characteristics that man becomes deformed by because of their old abominable desires, their insatiable lust for the things of the flesh. God looks upon it. He hates it. But the Bible said it grieved him in his heart because he repented that he'd made such a man upon the earth and let him exist in that wretched, miserable animal form that he was existing in. Till every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. So the Bible said, God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them, and I'll destroy them with the earth. Now, then he began to relate to Noah his form of survival, the manner in which he would provide the survival for his family in the judgment that was soon going to destroy that sick society, and that whole generation was going to perish. But God made a provision to save that holy seed and preserve a posterity that would reproduce their own kind in a world that was going to be purged by the terrible flood of God's severe judgment. That's what the Lord's going to have to do to the earth again, to preserve the posterity of the holy remnant. For the Bible tells us plainly, that's what Jesus meant in Matthew 24, the great Olivet message, when he got down to verses 21 and 22. For he said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to that time known or ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. But for God's elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I'll tell you, God's going to shorten the days to save his elect, that holy seed. And the Bible tells us plainly that that's God's purpose, is to save a holy seed. For he'll cut his work short in righteousness, for a quick work or a short work will the Lord make upon the earth in this end time. That holy seed again is revealed in Romans 11. In the 11th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 5, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant, a holy remnant in this world today. You can't find many of them together in one place. They're scattered. But there's a holy remnant that God has among this polluted society, excuse me, living among men and women by the millions that live like animals, dress like the heathens, practice idolatry and immorality, that our soul, like righteous Lot in Sodom, is vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds and their filthy conversation. God have mercy, what a polluted, what a degenerate, what a filthy place for a Christian that's clean to live in, with all the ungodly behavior, the nudity, with the perversions that we're surrounded by. When we look out in man that was made in God's own image has degenerated down into the form of an animal. Their appetites are animalistic. Their behavior is animalistic. And they raise their children to live like animals instead of men and women that were made in the image of our great Creator God, who made us in the image of his likeness of holiness. And that's the only image that God will accept for his divine favor, that we can save ourselves and our family as Noah did, out of the misery, the wretchedness, the debauchery, the degeneracy, and all the filth and abominations of this generation. There's only one way to divine favor, and that's to live holy and to be in that holy remnant that's going to escape the judgments and the wrath of Almighty God.